This is the MLWRadio.com network.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network, as well as on cagematch.net. I'm your host, Trigger, back after a little while, because our schedules didn't really meet up or match up. But of course, my co-host Dylan is here once again after he already did a show this past week? No, or early this week, actually, with Sondre about the five-star Grand Prix. Dylan, how are you feeling today?
Well, let me tell you, Striga, first of all, welcome back. So good to have you back. You were on a globe-trottering lifestyle right now. You had to go to all places, be out there, do some great things, as you are known to do. And yes, me and Sondre did do a show about the five-star Grand Prix, particularly the final, but we had a whole wrap-up of the tournament and all of that stuff. It was really cool. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it out there. You know, I know a lot of people always do love these big tournament episodes.
Yes.
Some of the biggest episodes on YouTube were the tournament finals, like the G1 was right up there. And this one should be right behind that overall. And obviously the Dream Queendom show was like a really big show when that happened, but it was just so fun to do the show and follow the tournament on the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. We followed all the matches, and it was a doozy to follow the five-star Grand Prix this year, let me tell you. But we did it, and yeah, and then, you know, we covered all kinds of stuff. We're going to talk about some of it today. We're going to catch up a little bit on stuff that we didn't get to talk about before since you were gone. You know, so all the people out there have something to look forward to. I did some shows on the Patreon, too, even about All Japan, Noah. All that stuff is fun. You know, my other show, Wrestle Update, we just did a show about Wrestle Dream. That had some New Japan influence, some Inoki influence. His grandsons were there anyway. And I re-released the Inoki show I did last year with Cameron, and that's still to me some of the best work that I did. It was like 4 hours, but it was like
such
a full
in-depth show on Inoki's Korean life.
Yeah,
man,
especially
such a great show.
Especially his life story. Yeah. I think a lot of that stuff, that information just isn't out there in other sources, and Cameron is just like a genius when it comes. And I started talking to him again. We DM'd after I re-released it. It was so fun. Really enjoyed having him on there. Like, really want to shout out him and thank him for doing some big things with us on that show. And me and you also, if you go on to Patreon, I think I said this on the last episode, but if not, I'll repeat it again. The Patreon, now you can combine it with Spotify. Or you could just, it's not that you can combine it, but you can see our shows on Spotify, like if you're a Patreon subscriber. That led to some big things. And definitely one of the ones you want to go back, just search in Inoki and the Spotify search. And me and your show that we did, multiple shows, we did the week of Antonio Inoki, week of Lariat. And that was so fun, so good. Like lots of cool stuff that we talked about his life. It was a great companion piece to the audio documentary me and Cameron did. Like, me and yours show was so good. Well worth the $5. Obviously, I'm a little biased on that. But still, it was well worth it in all seriousness. And Yeah, I'm done with the backlog of Toyota Tuesdays as well, coming into new episodes, going into 98, and basically the twilight of Toyota's career at this point, now that we're past the 2000s, we're getting into the 2000s. And TigerCast W came back too. We got some nice reviews. Cheyenne was very happy. My sister was very happy to see all the people listening to that and having nice comments. And everything's going good on the Eastern Lariat front. So thank you to all the listeners out there. We're coming into the kind of the... It's weird to say because it's still, you know, I mean, we just started October, right? It's not like we're cutting into the new year, but in reality, we're kind of in the home stretch.
We are
like a year in Japanese pro wrestling. You know, all the tournaments are done. We do have some big shows left, like a couple of big ones, and obviously the tag leagues are going to take a big spotlight in November and December. And most importantly, the Eastern Lariat Year-End Awards will take the spotlight as well. The big news of Japanese wrestling.
Absolutely, and that's what I began thinking about in these recent days. I, for example, began thinking about who I will probably have as most underrated, for example, this year. And I've really not come to a conclusion yet, but early October is a time of the year where I begin thinking about these awards.
And I think that's the right way to go about it, because like I said, we've really gone past the meat of the year at this point. We kind of have a good idea. Maybe somebody will pop up that will steal the show for the last 3 months. But in reality, the year is kind of, we've gotten through the meat of it. And hopefully everybody out there can think about those, because we really appreciate the half year award votes, set a record, blew away our previous total for the half year awards. This year end is going to be even bigger. The first official awards, man, like it's going down in the record books, people, this year and stuff. So keep your eyes peeled for that, and keep who you think in mind. And most underrated, I'm sure we'll have, however many votes we get, I'm sure everyone will have a different pick based on the half year.
Once again.
Yes, I've yet to decide how long this underrated award will go, to be honest, if things turn out how they did. That may be one that gets replaced in the future.
Maybe.
We did make some changes to the awards in the half year from where we were before, but regardless, we will do some stuff there, all kinds of stuff. Maybe I'll do a show for the Observer Hall of Fame again. Gerard, I tried to get him on for a show while you were gone, but he was busy. But we're going to do
busy man, of course, yes.
Oh, he's Canadian. It's automatic when you've got big stuff going up there, up in all my friends in the Great White North up there. But we did a show last year. We'll probably do another one this year since he is a voter as well. But yeah. we'll do something. And I was on his show, Emerald Flow Show, not that long ago, like a month ago or whatever. And we talked about all kinds of stuff. So that's more fun stuff to check out that I've been up to. And hopefully everybody enjoys it. But most importantly, now that Striga is back, we have the full Eastern Lariat experience. It's not just the Lariat anymore with special guests.
Ooh.
It's the full Eastern. We've got the Eastern part to the Eastern Lariat, and I'm so happy.
So you're the Lariat and I'm the Eastern?
Well, you know, in terms of geography, you are far, much further east.
On that is correct.
Than
yeah.
me. So
yeah.
I cannot, that would be stupid if I was the Eastern part of it, unfortunately.
But if we went the other way around, you'd be more Eastern.
But would that make me Western?
I don't know.
They say the West. They talk that, you know, they talk about the Western fans, of course. Obviously, the American place. So geography has benefited me this name. But Eastern, Lariat, they're both equally important at the end of the day. Because with even just the Lariat... And I like my shows, and hopefully everybody else likes them to a good extent as well. But it's never the same unless both halves of the system are here.
That is absolutely correct. Let's go with that. And today's episode is a different episode from what we usually do, because we usually don't do a lot of preview episodes. But this time, the schedule worked out so that we are going to do that on this show, specifically because we have a big holiday coming up in Japan. It's Sports Day. That's on October 9 in Japanese. That's Taiku no Hi. It's a bank holiday for the Japanese. And of course, with the Japanese having not that many vacation days in their year, a prolonged weekend is always welcome. And a lot of companies have, of course, scheduled their big shows for Monday, October 9. And we are going to talk about some of those shows that are happening on that day. We have All Japan, TJPW, Great, New Japan scheduled. I was going to talk about a Noah show as well. And they do have a show on Monday, but it's Nosawa's Monday Magic, and there is no card announced for that show. What do you expect, Dylan, for Monday Magic?
It seems like it's kind of similar to that old DDT show they did, Manji, whatever. And that's what I kind of think this will be like. Nothing important, you know, just matches to put on a weekly show so you could say you have a weekly show. Yeah, and
just content.
Yeah, exactly. Like, same thing for the Masa Manji or whatever that was. Ooh, DDT, I can't remember the exact name of it. But it was a weekly show, and it got popular among DDT fans. Yeah, like, a lot of people liked it. And maybe this Monday Magic will be a similar success story for them. If they could just, you know, maybe have three matches a show. Like, that's the kind of what I'm expecting. You know, like, three matches shows. Maybe you get a short match here or there, maybe show off for the young guys, give them a little extra ring time, which I think would definitely be a good thing. And but I don't expect it to be like, this is now going to be the flagship show of Noah, and it's going to be this big deal. I think it'll be more like a what you said, content, easy watching for the viewers, and maybe a chance to give some young guys some more time.
Oh, yeah, they should do that. So, yeah, no real Noah card to discuss for this coming Monday. But, of course, the big news that came out last week is that Katsuhiko Nakajima left Pro Wrestling Noah at the end of September. He's still going to do two more matches until the end of October for the company. But then he's gone. Maybe forever, maybe for now, who even knows in Japanese pro wrestling. This caught me off guard. I didn't expect that, but it spawned a lot of discussion online about what could be next for Katsuhiko Nakajima. He seemed to be such a lock for a quote-unquote lifer with Pro Wrestling Noah, even though he didn't start out with them. He had been there since when has he been there in Pro Wrestling Noah? Let me see.
He's
been there
since 05, 06.
Yeah, since he became a regular in 2008. And that's where he had the matches with Mitsuharu Misawa. I translated that interview that he did with Tokyo Sports, put it up on our Eastern Lariat account on Twitter at Eastern Lariat. These two matches, singles matches he had with Misawa in 2008, made him decide that he wanted to join Pro Wrestling Noah because he felt so much gratitude towards this legend and the owner of the company that at that point in his career was so injured and in such a bad physical state, but he still gave this young guy two singles matches, which left a big impression with Katsuhiko Nakajima. So, yeah, he decided to stay with Pro Wrestling Noah. And for the longest part of his career, he had been a contracted wrestler for this company. And he just turned 35 years this year in March, which marked the 19th year of his career. He's entering the 20th year of his wrestling career, of course, starting with 15 years old back in the day. So he felt that at this point in his life, this could be like a turning point. He said that he feels like for any male of that age, the age of 35 could be a point in which you look back at what you've achieved and you look forward to what you could do in your life. And so he felt like he wanted to open a new chapter in his life. And that's what he's doing right now. What did you first think, Dylan, when you read the news about Nakajima leaving, and what was your first idea where he might pop up afterwards?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting timing, because in a lot of ways he really had his, like, obviously we can look back at the title runs, he has won the tournament before, but as an overall performer and for the business that he brought to the company, you could argue he had his most triumphant moment, like, just recently with Kento Miyahara and, you know, their match that they had, which he won. And it felt like he had a lot of buzz, a lot of momentum. It's interesting because a day before this announcement happened, I had actually released a show about the Noah show with Go challenging for the title with Jake. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned, like, Nakajima was in an undercard match, and I just said, man, they really pissed away all of the momentum and buzz that he had coming off of that Kento stuff. I mean, he just wasn't, and me and you both agreed that he, if it were up to us, he would have won the tournament. Strike while the iron's hot. You know, try and build something. Maybe you can get something in the future out of him and Kento. But instead, they went a different way, and he just didn't feel like that big of a player. So I thought it was interesting timing. I don't know if he thought that way or he had already made this decision months ago, even before it happened. I mean, he had mentioned in the interview that he had been thinking about this even last year, mm-hmm. which I mean, there's a lot of reasons last year that you can point to.
Yes, specifically after his title run, yeah.
That's the big one, like when he, you know, obviously got just humiliated with Fujita and Hideki as well. And they had, even though I love their match they had together, the tag match with the 10 count fall was like, yep. Ugh. And not, you know, the stuff, all the controversy around Endo and Okada at the time, the controversy that he had to deal with. So I understand where he was coming from, but the timing of it was just so interesting after the Kento thing. In terms of where he was going, you know, it's tough because a lot of stuff he was saying, he talked about maybe wanted to go to America, things like that. And then even in the interview, he basically said, well, if I was going there, I probably would have already have done that, like already yeah. announced that.
I mean, he could still be going to America. He could still be going to whatever place he wants to go. But there is nothing set in stone. That's basically what he said in the interview. If there was, he would have had a ceremony of sorts.
And I just don't think there's a great future for him. Nothing against him or his talent. But he's smaller than you think.
Yeah.
And for AEW and WWE, they're not going to really... I don't know if they would go for him in any kind of major role.
In AEW, it depends because... There's also Adam Cole in the main event slots, you know?
Yeah, but he is not Japanese.
Like, he's not Japanese. That's the thing, yes.
Yeah, he could cut promos. Like, mm-hmm. Nakajima can't do that. He would, honestly, if he went to AEW, he'd be in Ring of Honor.
I think so, too. I have a real hard time imagining a Katsuhiko Nakajima in AEW or in WWE. We can go back to the interview that him and Miyahara did prior to their match they had, where both guys talked about their philosophies in pro wrestling. And whereas Kento Miyahara said, yes, I love professional wrestling because I grew up loving Hulk Hogan. Whereas Katsuhiko Nakajima said, yeah, my pro wrestling is the martial arts based style of pro wrestling. So that's different from what WWE and also what AEW is doing these days. AEW this year has turned to much more of a sports entertainment company than in years before. And with that, I have a hard time imagining that he would have any kind of big role in a company like AEW. You might go to Don Callis managing Konosuke Takeshita, but Konosuke Takeshita is a guy that from his roots in DDT had just more of a chance to adapt to a different environment like AEW is than a Katsuhiko Nakajima would have. So
he's bigger, he's got connections like with people in the company.
Yes, he's more charismatic.
You know, the thing is, Nakajima's got a charisma to him. I don't know if it translates as much. Like, Takeshita is like a universal appeal because he can do a great babyface. He's done a great work as a heel. I'm still skeptical that he's really going anywhere right now. If you look
let me put it this way. I also think that Nakajima is very charismatic and Nakajima is able to own a room. That goes without question. But I don't think that he is per se a great television wrestler.
Yeah.
In contrast to guys, for example, like Jay White, who we are seeing in AEW now translating to the audience much better than he used to do in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He is a great TV wrestler, but I don't think that Nakajima is a great TV wrestler. He's a great wrestler when you watch him in these circumstances where he's able to connect with the people that he's wrestling in front of. That he is great in. But him being on Dynamite in these big arenas, I don't know. I don't know if that's for him.
And, like, his best stuff in his Noah run was when he had something really emotional to sink his teeth into. Whether it's the Kento stuff or the Axis stuff with Go. Mm. Like, he wouldn't be afforded that in an AEW. And I just don't think there's any reason for him to even think of something like that. And that kind of leads me to the Japanese standpoint. I can't see any reason he would leave Noah to go to any other company except New Japan. Like, just financially, I just don't think there's any reason for it. Like, you're not going to make what you can make in Noah, like, ultimately. Especially now in this economy, which is not in a great place in Japan right now. Now is not
a good time. No, not a good time to go freelance.
Yeah, I think he's going to New Japan. Like, they've got people that want him there. LIJ has, you know, definitely multiple people that want him. He would fit like a glove in a place like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll ever be a main event player or anything. I believe we talked about this at one point. I think his ceiling is limited, but for an early run, like, I think you could make – there's money to be made with him, even though I don't think they'll get behind him long term. But let's say their big storyline right now is Naito going into the Dome trying to get the title. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. What if he wants a fresh challenger to start off his title reign? You bring in Nakajima right away. Just build to one big match with him. Settle him in afterwards. I think that there is evidence that they would want that. Obviously, the Congo and LIJ stuff is very prominent within New Japan. But I think he makes sense on that level. After that, he's probably more of an upper mid-card player. Again, I don't really see him as a main event level guy. But really, even in Noah, what did he do really in the last year or so that would make that any better?
Yeah, that's my answer. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, of course, yes, New Japan is the logical choice. What if Japanese companies, they have these freelancer deals as well. Minoru Suzuki is one of the most famous wrestlers that usually when he is in a company, he is on a freelancer deal that locks him up for certain dates with the company. What if he does a deal like that, for example, with New Japan, and then also is able to take some bookings of his own, maybe go to independence in America, or even, I don't know, do All Japan, do other companies? Would that be something that you'd think he could do?
Yeah, you know, if it makes financial sense, I could see that. Like I said, I really think his upside is really to build to a big match in New Japan, not necessarily, you know, somebody that they're going to get behind for years to come. I think he'd be a great guy to have on the, you know, I mean, we saw the G1 this year. They could use somebody with his talents, like, to fill out these big G1s they have, you know, in that mid-tier.
Specifically with some of these guys dropping out in the next coming years. You talked about this long-ass tournament that Stardom had with Sondre, and Stardom, they were only able to have a tournament like that, and even they had to suffer injuries there. They were only able to have a tournament like that because they have a young roster. Any other roster with people over 30, they would have broken down by the half of the tournament.
The G1, I don't really agree with that because the number of matches were the same. The scheduling sucked, and the matches were very short.
The scheduling sucked. Yeah, the scheduling is just longer.
Yeah, and the matches themselves were shorter. You wrestled less in the five-star than the G1. It's just they managed it so much better. to where it was a night in, night off type of deal.
Yeah, but most wrestlers wrestled in other matches as well, on these other shows too.
And by the end, I mean, for most of the tournament, it was all tournament matches. So, I mean, I think that they would do fine. The big thing is, though, Will Ospreay, maybe he's on the come up. You've got a spot to leave, spot to open after that. I think Nakajima fits right into that kind of level if they wanted to do that.
We talked about others, like, for example, Tomohiro Ishii. We don't know what his future in in the tournament looks like. They phased out other older guys as well. In the next coming years, we'll be talking about a guy like Hiroshi Tanahashi, of course, as well. Not right now, but the day is going to come.
Yeah, he can't last forever. He's got a couple more years left. Mm-hmm. Even the guys like Goto.
Goto, right here.
Even Naito. Like, he's not going to last forever.
Mm-hmm. And then there is this big talking point that I always have when I talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling going after wrestlers from other companies. Of course, Nakajima isn't even the younger guy right now with 35 years old, but still probably one of those guys that you can go with for the next foreseeable future. But that's one of the problems, one of the core problems New Japan is having. Now they are building new guys in Yota Tsuji, Shota Umino, and to a degree, Renarita. But for the last couple of years, there basically has been nobody that they have built that even comes close to being a formidable star for a tournament like the G1 Climax. We always go back to Okada, to Naito, and maybe there is a third guy in 1 year or what you can have.
Yeah, like an Ospreay.
An Ospreay, yes. But usually it's the guys that have been around for the last 10 years, and they've not been able to build up others. So a guy like Nakajima coming in fresh, having a lot of fresh matches, would make total sense, yeah.
And who's to say he can't help out some of these younger guys? Him and Tsuji in a tag team? I think that would be... Tsuji's always given me a little bit of those Nakajima vibes. With his entrance, the smile. Mm. They've got very similar style of charisma to me. I think he would fit right in with that. You have a lot of different guys you could go with. Him and Shingo obviously have a history. I think him being in New Japan would be a great move for both sides. Obviously, it would be a bump up in size for Nakajima, but just for the company, I think he would be a great addition. Again, I'm not saying that he's going to be the world champion or put the title on him or anything like that, but I do think there's value there. And then who knows? I mean, Shingo got the title. We never know what's going to happen. Who's to say somebody doesn't make a surprise jump of their own to America or something like that, or there's an injury at a impromptu time. Nobody knows. So I think it's worth a shot. And realistically, what was his real future in Noah at this point? He's done everything.
Yeah, he's done everything. And I don't know if he'd ever be in the position to become champion again. If they would have won it, this would have been the time right now. You mentioned
totally
after the big win over Miyahara, he went in with a lot of momentum into the N1, and we figured, yeah, based on that, he would have a chance of winning. He did not in the end. So I don't know what bigger of a story, what bigger of a momentum you can have next year.
There is another part of it that we have to talk about. With that win over Kento... Is this one final middle finger to that young punk, Kento Miyahara, who hated him all these years, signing with New Japan so he doesn't have to put over
That's
Kento
the question.
Again.
That would be a total worker move, and I could see that.
Has this man out-Hoganed Kento Hogan right now? That is the question we need to ask right now.
It's not working for me, brother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll put you over in December.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. See, no. And I don't know.
I mean, I didn't lie to you. I just didn't tell you that I'm going to sign a New Japan contract in October.
Listen, plans have changed. That's all I'm saying. Not that, but
current subject to change, young punk.
I don't know how true it is, but that would be. I mean, it's true though. Ultimately, like if he signed to New Japan,
yeah, he's not losing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be very funny if that happened at the very least. Because, let's take away New Japan off the table. what other options are there?
That's what I was going to address. I mean, we've discussed that under the tweet that I made about Nakajima as well. The obvious one with the Miyahara connection would be All Japan Pro Wrestling as well. But to be honest, they lost Jake Lee to Pro Wrestling Noah. I don't think that All Japan is in any kind of position to make any moves to a guy with the caliber of a Katsuki Nakajima. All Japan Pro Wrestling realistically is a company that has to look at the indies and has to get guys from there. I don't think that All Japan is a company that can afford, just not only from their reputation right now as a company, as well as from their financial standpoint, that has the ability to look upwards. So it would be nice to imagine Katsuki Nakajima in an environment with Yuma Aoyagi, with Kento Miyahara, with Yuma Anzai, and so on. But I don't think it's realistic.
Exactly. And that's why I said what I said. There's just... And financial is the big thing. This says nothing about All Japan as a company or their talent level, because I think they're every bit as good as Noah, if not better in a lot of ways, as a company, if you just look at their shows. But financially, Cyber Agent, they just have such a long reach. You know, like, you're not going to be able to replace that with a company that's, you know, All Japan's a historical company and a legacy company, but they're not owned by a big, you know, megalomaniacal corporation like, you know, New Japan and Noah. So it's just really tough. There's also the part of maybe Glate, you know, they need more people. They don't care about losing money. And maybe that could be a big move of theirs. I mean, Ledet did own Noah for a while. He would have connections there. Is this part of Shima's big move? That Nakajima is his latest pull into the wonderful company that is great.
Oh, no. Well, oh, hell, there is an X on the great card. Kaito Ishida's opponent.
I'm not saying it's for sure him, but I mean, there's reason. Like, if it's not New Japan, that is the only reasonable place, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the money that they're willing to burn through. And,
yes.
And, you know, he, like I said, he has connections. Ledet owned Noah for a little while. Maybe he's a guy that they would have. I mean, I'm sure they would love to have him if they could, if he would want to go. That remains to be seen. It would be a downgrade in terms of company prestige for sure for him. So, and like I said, I think that New Japan is probably the logical place. We'll see where it goes. I mean, I don't expect anything to be announced right now. I think he's going to work his Noah dates out. They're going to make a big deal.
He's not in a rush to announce anything.
Exactly. Just like I said at the start of the show, in reality, we're kind of in the closing stretch of the year in terms of big shows. I mean, we've got tag leagues. He doesn't need to announce it. To me, keep your eyes peeled for early January. Like, you know, that's where we're going to see his next move, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah, so much, I guess, for this point of the show with Katsuhiko Nakajima.
One thing on Noah I want to say real quick. Did you see the Jake and Go match?
No, I did not.
What did you think of Jake retaining?
I did not expect that.
I don't think anybody did.
I don't think anybody did expect that. It once again raises the question what the main event for the show in early January is going to be.
And they set up Jake versus Kenno on this month, you know, this October show they have coming up.
And since Go didn't win the title, and since I don't know what the main event with Jake Lee could be, would Kenno be the one?
It's just hard. It's hard for me to see them going with Jake in this show as the main event. Maybe they disagree. Clearly they think very highly of him as champion. And I said it on the last show. I think he's done a swell job as champion. I wasn't in love with some of his tournament matches, but for his title matches, he's been good all the way through. I think he, you know, the group is over. Like, the fans were behind him. If you watch the match, the fans are more behind Jake than Go, which I think is not a good sign for anything. You know, but good-looking guys, they're over right now. Like, they're the one faction. You look at Noah. What faction do they have that means anything?
No, not any faction that I can think of, no.
Exactly. Like, and good-looking guys are over. Like, that's the one thing they have going for right now. There's no other... There's nobody to believe in or root for. They broke up Congo. And who knows what's going to happen with Keno. Maybe they roll back their, like, last year. It wouldn't really make sense considering where he's at, but Keno and Kaito, like, regaining the trust of last year not being in the main event, now being in the main event. It's not inspiring at all to me. But
nothing is inspiring.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's no possible option.
No,
they can
main
go
event.
To. Yeah. Unless it's something like, again, they pulled something crazy out last year with Nakamura.
I thought the main event that we talked about the last show with Shiozaki versus Wagner, that would have been engaging.
Yeah, that would have been a lot of fun. And maybe they'll go with Jake versus Wagner now. Like,
not as engaging, to be quite honest.
It's a long-term champion. I mean, Jake has been a champion for just, you know, almost as long as Wagner, I guess. I don't know. But I just thought I just wanted to know what you thought of that going forward with Noah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the Jake and Go match was good. Like, I had nothing against the match itself. But I was very surprised by the crowd reaction. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds for him overall.
Me neither. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, since we already talked about great, why don't we talk about their upcoming show this Monday? They have a themed show that's called Great Version X, Great versus Kyoteki. And Kyoteki translates to something like strong enemy, or in the phrase of Kyoteki, or Taosu, means like beating a strong opponent, a strong enemy. And the show is based around great wrestlers having matches with wrestlers from the outside, from other companies. And what I'm going to do for some of these shows, Dylan, I'm going to run through some of the undercard matches. And whenever you have something to say about the matches, just scream, just shout in. We'll talk about the main matches specifically. But for now, let's go to the first match, the opening match. It's a 10-man tag. Kasayashi, Minoru Tanaka, Jun Tonshu, Yui Suka, and Junji versus Haganeshino, Yumihito, Imanari, Mitsuki Watase, Kaji Tomato, and Shota. Shota and Sobata Kao just won the KOD tag team title, freeing us from damnation. I'm so happy that Roman Dawn was the one to do that. So shout out to Shota. Then we have a match called Great Amazing Battle. It's Kotaro Suzuki and Hartley Jackson against Tomoaki Honma and his tag team partner, Ryota Hama, of all people, of course. Yes, the likely tag team. Women's match on the card, of course. One women's match has to be on each great card. Yukari Hosokawa, Unagi Sayaka, Itsuki Aoki, and Yurika Oka from Sendai Girls against Michiko, Aoi, Risa, Sera, and Arisa Nakajima. So bringing in Arisa for this 8-man tag feels like a wasted opportunity, but that's the great women's division for you in a nutshell.
Hey, it can be worse than what she's doing in Tsukuban.
Oh, yeah, that's true, but it's not any better, to be quite honest. Yeah, we're going to, we have 9 matches on this card. Match number 4 is Elite UWF Double Bout, Soma Watanabe and Tetsuya Itsuki against Masakatsu Funaki and Tyson Maeguchi. Then they have a match called Great Without Honor. It's Takanori Ito and Issei Onizuka against Isami Kodaka and Yuko Miyamoto. From there, we go to the Great Space Battle. Of course, Michinoku Pro still has their space battle coming up, but now it's the Great Space Battle with Bulk Orchestra, Ryuichi Kawakami, Kazuma Sakamoto, and Shek Shimatani going against the Great Sasuke, Gaina, and Ultraman, Robin. Dylan, will the barrel be rolled out?
There's really no point if it doesn't.
Right. But is the barrel able to work two matches a year? That's my question.
We'll see. I think that the Twitter GIF people will have a fun time with this. And
yes.
That's about all I can say about this great space battle.
Match number 7 is Kaito Ishida's return from injury. And as I said, they have announced that he will wrestle, but not who he is wrestling against. And I was thinking, what current / former Dragon Gate guy is there that they could snatch away from the company now?
Well, look at their history. Who is it that would make the most sense to face Ishida in a match?
Who is it?
I don't know. I mean,
I have no idea.
There's not a lot of people left that are. I've left unless it's a shocking swerve, like somebody current that just jumps.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have anything in my mind that could be a viable opponent for Ishida. It's just weird to have a return match and just not announce the opponent.
Kotoka.
Oh. Oji Shiba.
Yeah, his brother.
Yeah, he was injured, I think.
Well, he retired, so bring him back.
No, Oji is not retired.
No, I'm talking about Kotoka.
Oh, Kotoka, yeah. I don't think he's still wrestling, but...
No, he's not. He retired. That's what I'm talking about.
I think he could not wrestle right now because he's of his injuries.
You never know. Like I said, know. Yeah. He might be bored.
Well,
they might say, oh, we'll pay you a lot of money. Come on back. He's like, what? I don't wrestle anymore. I don't want to do that. Like, come on back. Your brother's here. Let's go. I'm like, all right, I guess.
There is only one answer, Dylan, for the X. It's, of course, Shiori Asai.
Why so? Explain yourself.
He used to be X in DDT. Whenever they had someone announced, it was always X is Shiori Asai. It used to be a running back in DDT.
K-Dojo alumni. But this is a DDT.
Okay. If that's not DDT, then it's got to be Satoshi Kojima.
That's true. I mean, they work with New Japan. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, why not? Would be a weird match.
Hiromu.
Oh, yes. Great would be a company to have Hiromu Takahashi come in unannounced. Yes. That's something that they would do.
That's my prediction.
Yeah. All right. Two more matches on this card. Great versus Invader. Lindemann and Hayato Tamura go against SBK and Takuma. The debut that SBK and Takuma had in Currican Hall, was it, I think, 2 months ago?
Yes, a month and a half.
Died a death. It was horrible.
Yeah, the funny thing is, if you didn't watch it and you just read what was said online, it seemed kind of cool.
Yeah,
but then when
exactly.
You watched it, when you watched it, it sucked.
It totally sucked. And these guys look like they've aged 15 years since they have left for Mexico. I don't know what there is for these two guys in great. There is, of course, the link to the Strong Hearts, but when that's done, what is there for these to do?
I said it when they came in. Like, these guys aren't stars.
No.
Like, I mean, SBK was like a fine mid-card player. Like, if he had stayed, he would have been, like, grown.
Yeah, 5 years down the line, he would have been a star in Dragon Gate.
But yeah, like, I mean, he was on his way. It's just he left and disappeared for 2 years. So that cut away, that added 2 more years to the 5-year plan, pretty much. And Fujiwara meant nothing. I mean, he was a great wrestler, like, a great young talent, don't get me wrong. But he was a rookie. Like, he did nothing in Dragon Gate to warrant anything. So I don't know what they're doing and what this company's doing, but I definitely think they're going to have a long way to go, like, overall. SBK is a very charismatic performer if they wanted to get behind him. And Fujiwara, again, great talent. Like you said, they clearly weren't on their A game, training to look like superstars in Mexico or anything like that. But maybe they'll bring out something good here. Lindemann, I haven't been a huge fan of his run in All Japan, but I do think that he's still a great worker. And Tamura, I love a lot. So I think that these are two good opponents. Like, it doesn't really make any sense in their storyline, but whatever. does anything make sense in this Glape? I don't know.
Not a lot, to be quite honest. And yeah, then we have the main event of T-Hawk defending the G-Rex title against Shuji Ishikawa. And that seems like a match that the outsider could realistically win.
Such a weird, like, pairing on paper.
On paper, yes. But I think that is actually a match that could draw a good house for Great.
Yeah, me too. And Ishikawa, he steps up in big matches. We saw it earlier this year with Nagata. Like, he's not a great worker anymore, but in a big match, he can step up.
We saw that against Takanori Ito last year, too.
Yeah, another great match. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, so in Great, he has had a great record so far. So him winning the title off of T-Hawk and having a good run as a heel invader could actually help out the company if they have someone in mind that could defeat Ishikawa. And I'm, of course, looking at Hayato Tamura once again.
Yeah, they kind of, you know, ideally, he would have won in the Sumo Hall show,
yeah.
But they passed that chance up, and T-Hawk continued his run. And I like T-Hawk a lot. I think he's doing admirable work as champion in a really, like, not a great situation. He reminds me of, like, the Bryce Young of wrestling right now, the Carolina Panthers quarterback. a lot of people are down on the team. Like, he's not doing great, but then you look at his offense, the people surrounding him, and it's just bums left and right, people like letting people go by untouched, people who can't catch, can't run, can't do anything. He's trying to carry this team that has nothing to it. And that's how I feel about T-Hawk. He's being the quarterback, he's the champion. And maybe people will dog him for that and talk bad about him and say his run is bad. But he's doing, like, if anybody does not deserve blame for what's going on in Glate, he is the one doing the best that he can. And I think this will be a good match again. It's just a weird matchup on paper. You're going to see these two stand off against each other.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, what the hell is this? Like, you know, it's like he's going to be triple this man's size. Like, how can he believably win? I don't know. But yeah. I agree. I think Ishikawa could win. And maybe it would work. I don't love the idea of him as champion in 2023 heading into 2024. But at this point, getting an All Japan guy, period, you know, ideally, like, imagine if this were Ryuki Honda, like, in this spot and winning the title. I think that would be a lot better, actually. But Ishikawa, I don't have a big, big problem with it. They need to do something to try and get a spark to the company. But I think if there's any problems in the company, the champion would be basically near the bottom.
That's it. They probably want a spark. And I don't think that they see a spark in guys that are still up on the rise in a company like All Japan. I think they will go to the big names that have worked in the past.
I suppose so. I don't know if Ishikawa, I mean, his career arc is kind of a long time indie guy into an All Japan guy. But I mean, it's worth a shot. Again, I'm not completely down on it. I think anybody from All Japan is a good idea. I just don't know if it would be him if I were making the decision.
Okay, yeah. Did you remember, Dylan, that this company actually has another championship, or two other championships to be precise? They have the G-Infinity Tag Team title, and the Voodoo-Morus, the Saito Brothers, they have been defending this title in Great and in All Japan, but they are not on this card. They have, I don't know, I think they're on the All Japan Pan card that day. Yes, they are on the All Japan card challenging Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi for the World Tag Team title, and the show is not in Tokyo, so that couldn't work out for Great then. And they also have the Lilit UWF Championship. Did you remember?
Of course, Fujita Hayato is champion. So,
wondering if he's ever defending the title.
That is, I mean, it's just more question marks. I mean, in the company, you know, the women's division, they seem like they were going to start something with Diamond Egoist, lose right away. Like, that doesn't matter. Like, all that build up, nothing. Jinai Kai done, like, going back to America. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Like, the stuff that they're doing. Tag team titles, been on the Saito brothers forever.
Mm.
no real tag teams built up to go for them or really have anything good to come out of that. UWF title, like you said, Hayato, great champion, ideally, but will they use him? Apparently not. It's the answer we've got so far. I mean, it's just such a weird company. Again, I don't really blame like any wrestlers.
No,
it's just how they use.
I'm just happy for everybody that's getting a payday off of this company, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's about all you can say about him, but
I guess so. So.
I'll say this. While you're going down that boring night card, I was thinking something. to bounce back a little bit to Nakajima, something we didn't mention. I wanted to note it. I don't want to forget it now. I was thinking about this. Because you could imagine that this decision was made talking to Kensuke Sasaki in some form. Like, I'm sure he didn't just, you know, mm-hmm. I'm sure it wasn't a complete surprise to Kensuke. And maybe even Kensuke, I mean, he himself left his main company at one point with New Japan in the 2000s.
He was extremely successful doing so, right? He became a heavyweight champion for all the big companies in Japan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. All of them. What if Nakajima maybe wanted to run back, maybe not, you know, Diamond Ring specifically, but maybe follow his, you know, in Kensuke's footsteps and do his own kind of thing like that, run his own office.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? I mean, if there is a guy that could make you believe that he is a freelance guy on his own, like, for example, like I mentioned, Minoru Suzuki, that's a guy like Nakajima, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, maybe bring back the Diamond Ring branding.
Maybe.
If you wanted to do that, maybe get some guys who would be close to him, maybe close to Kensuke, maybe get some young guys in there, maybe start training some people, open his own dojo. I think that would be a feasible option as well that we didn't really talk about, but it's something I thought about that maybe, you know, he took a page out of, you know, Sasaki's playbook.
Great point.
Something we'd mention. Yeah, so I just wanted to bring that up.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, so that was great. Let's go over to All Japan Pro Wrestling since we brought the company up here. They have a couple of shows this weekend. Actually, they had the Under 30 show just today. I haven't watched the show yet, but on paper, that show really looks good. We had in the main event Atsuki Aoyagi and Rising Hayato defeat Mao and Rukia of DDT. Semi-main was Yuma Aoyagi, Takuya Nomura defeat Yuma Anzai and Ayato Yoshida. That really looks good on paper. I'm going to check that out later or tomorrow. We'll see. And what they have coming up on the weekend, I mentioned it. On Sunday, they have the All Japan World Tag Team title. The All Japan World Tag Team title prelude in a six-man tag in the main event on a house show. Yuma Aoyagi, Kento Miyahara, and Suwama against the Saito Brothers and Kono. And then on Monday in Kakuda, there is the World Tag Team title match. Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi against Jun Saito and Rei Saito. And of course, on October 21st in Kurikan Hall, they have the title match between Yuma Aoyagi and Kento Miyahara coming up. What do we expect for this one?
Much like I asked with Noah, I'm going to ask again, did you see the show with Aoyagi and Honda in the main event?
I did. I thought that this was a strong main event. I liked most of what I saw on the show. I thought that they drew a good house for that. I was, much like you said, Lindemann in All Japan is not really working out for me. I was disappointed with the match that he had with Ikao Sato. It was such a short match, under 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. The Evolution and the Dente Murasuwama and Ryo Inno match versus the DDT guys was really cool. I like that. I think Yukio Naya really strikes me as a guy that could be in the Champion Carnival next year. And except for the main event, I came away from this show. We were talking about the All Japan show from the 23rd of September, of course. I came away liking the Hideki Suzuki and Koji Omoto versus Shuji Ishikawa and Yuma Anzai match. extremely well. I thought that Hideki and Anzai have great chemistry, out of this world great chemistry, and they are going to be paired on more shows this coming month. I'm looking forward to that. Hideki in All Japan Pro Wrestling is an immediate upgrade. Wherever he goes, he's an upgrade. And I'm hoping that he stays around for much, much longer.
Oh, I said the exact same thing on my Patreon review of that show the day it came out. Hideki and Anzai, they just had an energy to them. And they were just fantastic together. I love that match. I thought it's kind of underrated. You know, you look at some of the ratings. Man, those two together are just so great.
Yeah. It's just this undercard match. Sometimes people not really paying too much attention to matches like that on the card.
And that one, they gave it time. I mean, yeah. It was a 20-minute match. Iwamoto's return to All Japan. Hideki, they put some muscle behind that match. So I think it was definitely well worth watching. I'm with you. The main event was really strong. Aoyagi and Honda, as always. I think that those guys are great. You see stuff like Aoyagi. I think he really is, like, of the champions, he's the one that clearly stands out to me right now in Japan. Always not just doing good work himself, but getting the best out of his opponents, adding wrinkles into different guys. He wrestles a little bit differently against maybe a Ruki Honda, as he did compared to his match with Suwama, compared to his tag work with Kento as well, and likely what they're going to do with him and Kento in a match as well. I really loved his title reign. I think he's done a fantastic job as champion. And then you look at the undercard. Like you said, Hideki coming in is just a huge upgrade. You've got Iwamoto coming back. You've got the Junior League coming up. They added a little bit of depth to it this year. You know, last year was only 6 guys. Now they added 8 guys. Mm-hmm. It's still not great, but they're moving up, and they got a wonderful cast of talent there. Anzai, I made this point on the Patreon as well. He, to me, it's like he's a guy that everyone always talks good about, and everybody always talks about how good he is for his age. I think he's really underrated, actually, just in general, because if you look at his body of work this year, and if you look at everybody's body of work, if you look at the entire company of the country of Japan in terms of pro wrestling, he is somebody that every time I watch him, no matter what situation he's in, whether it's a title match, whether it's in a tournament, whether it's in a tag match like this, or new opponents or opponents he's faced before, he gets the most out of every single match. Yeah. I think he is a fantastic, like, I don't think he's good for his age or he'll be great. I think he's literally one of the absolute top tier best wrestlers in Japan this year.
He just gets it. He from the get-go, from his very first match, there is rookies that need to find their place, that need to find their footing, that need to find how they move inside the ring. Yuma Anzai had that from the get-go.
And he's better than so many other people, regardless of, like, I don't even consider him a rookie. Like, he's a better wrestler than Koji Iwamoto at this point, like, watching that match.
No,
he's
no
better. And he's better than most of this roster. Like, if you look at him, he's a better wrestler than all but a very, tip-top tier of people. I mentioned Aoyagi before, somebody that I really liked. But I would take Anzai over pretty much everybody else. You can't really say – Kento's matches, I really liked his work this year, Kento as well. But besides that, I think Anzai's among the best wrestlers in Japan. I don't care about rookie status. I think he's one of the best wrestlers, period, in Japan this year. Yep. I was thinking about that when we were talking about awards. He's a guy that I look at. Just in terms of a top player, I can't say he's an MVP candidate because he hasn't been given the top title. He hasn't carried a company or anything like that. But in terms of, like, the most outstanding wrestler, the Tanahashi Trophy, mm-hmm. I think he deserves a look. Like, you look at his overall status.
It almost feels unfair to classify him with all the other rookies in the Rookie Award because he would be running away with that.
Well, we saw it in the Half-Year Awards.
Yeah.
But he is a rookie. I mean, I'm not saying that he's not. But I'm saying I think a lot of people only say, oh, well, he's great for a rookie. Like, but actually, he's just great, period. Like, he's one of the best wrestlers in Japan, regardless of how many years he has. And obviously, like, there's a lot of great young talent, but he's just so special. You know, and I really loved his run so far. But anyway, rounding back to your original question, Aoyagi and Kento. I think Kento very well could win the title, to be honest with you. And I say that for this reason. I don't know how you feel about this. If Aoyagi wins, he's basically done everything at that point, now that he's got the champion. That's the one thing he hasn't done, is beat Kento in a Triple Crown match. So at that point, that's great and all, but at that point, where would they go next? Like, who would be the guy next to follow behind him? And as much as I love Anzai, if it were me, I have no problem with it. Hey, I was talking, I said, hey, if you wanted to put the title and have him beat Nagata, I would have thought about it. I don't know if I would have done it for sure, but I would have tinkered with that thought, despite it being less than a year into his career. If they're ready for it, and obviously they don't push in the same as normal rookies, and that's a great thing for them. It's totally worked out. And if they're ready to go that far with him, say Anzai wins the Champion Carnival next year, then okay, then I guess you could do something with him and Aoyagi. But I don't know about that. I don't know if they're ready to quite go that far with him. So in that case, I think Aoyagi losing to Kento gives Yuma some stakes going forward in next year. What say you?
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. And I was just looking at the recent history of the Triple Crown. It is very striking that between Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi, they had Yuji Nagata as the placeholder champion that Aoyagi defeated in the end. So Aoyagi won the championship not from Kento Miyahara, but from Yuji Nagata. And the most recent title runs, the last Kento Miyahara run was 154 days. The Nagata one was 133 days. And with Aoyagi and Kento coming up at the end of the month, that would also be in line of the estimate time that the runs in recent time have gotten. And ever since Kento Miyahara's last big run was interrupted by Zuwama, who then held it for 454 days, they haven't had a long run. And if there is one guy on the in the company that can have a long run, that's Kento Miyahara. If, again, Katsuhiko Nakajima is a big topic of this show.
Yeah, yes.
If there had been more of Kento Miyahara versus Katsuhiko Nakajima, I would have been hesitant to say that Miyahara wins the title right now. But since it's questionable if we're going to get more of this, that might be a way for All Japan to go, to have exactly what you said, Miyahara have a proper long run. And at the end of that run, maybe Aoyagi challenges him in the middle of that run, and then in the end of that next Kento Miyahara run, defeats him to go for another run of the Triple Crown.
And I don't even think Kento has to have a long run. My point is more on Aoyagi, like, because if he wins against Kento, who's next? Like, who hasn't he beaten in this company that's a legit challenger?
Yeah, but if Kento doesn't go on a long run, would you think that Anzai would be the one, would be next, or what?
What about Ashino when he comes back?
I
know that's making a leap. Like, you're right. Like, what you're going to say is totally right.
what was I going to say?
Well, maybe they don't want him to be the champion.
No, that's not what I was going to say. Maybe they do want him to be champion, but maybe it's too early right after the return.
Yeah, I think it's tough because they spent so many years, like, kind of keeping him in a holding pattern, let's just say. And he finally got his moment. And then he went away, like, because of the injury.
Is there a return schedule anyways for him?
It's not scheduled, but I think he'll be back at the start of next year. Maybe even sooner. I saw him training, like a video he posted, so I know he's on track, at least.
Actually, at this point of the year, it wouldn't make any sense for him to return.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think next year, you know, early next year is the right time. Maybe at the end of the final of the tag league, he could come out. Which would be a perfect place, like, if he were going to challenge somebody.
Right.
That he could come back and say, hey, I never got my title shot. And I think that's the only logical, and that's the problem. Like, if he had just been injured and he hadn't have won the Champion Carnival, I could kind of vibe with what you were saying. But I also think the only logical thing he could do in his return is go for the championship right away, because the last we saw of him was winning the Carnival.
Hey, Kento and Ashino would be a great main event for January 2nd or 3rd.
Or December 31st.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes. They do have that show, too.
Or, I mean, and you could do that with Yuma, I guess, like, because he never beat Ashino for the title if they wanted mm-hmm. to. So it's not like it's impossible. I think that's a good idea if they wanted him to be the champion. Again, we don't know. But it definitely felt like he had the momentum that he could be the champion.
He did.
Yeah. And hopefully that, you know, we talked about it when he got hurt. Hopefully he can retain that momentum because, you know, heck of a talent. We all love him so much. It's just tough when you go away for a while. Hopefully the fans, I think the fans will remember him and give him a warm return, though, overall. And you remember the Champion Carnival, it wasn't a great tournament throughout in terms of the attendances, but the final, him and T-Hawk did a great number.
Yep.
Which has been, I mentioned this on the start of the show, too. Like, yet another tournament where most of the tournament is low attendances, and then the final comes and it's a big number. Stardom went the same way as Noah, New Japan, and All Japan in that that path, which kind of tells you something, I think, the state of Japan right now. They'll show up for the big shows. It's just a lot of the smaller shows that are kind of struggling right now. So, and they do have a big show on the 31st, as we said. So I think that's a spot they could look at, too, Ashino. I think sure. He could work with Yuma or Kento, to be honest with you. But I just think, again, my main point is more on Yuma. Like, where, you know, he's done everything, and I think that's a tough spot when you've done everything, but you haven't been able to overcome Kento, like, or overtake him at the end of the day. So I think it's better to hold off on that until next year, and that will be, like, maybe not, because you can never get the first win pop as much, really, but the win over Kento means almost as much as a Triple Crown win for him in particular. Yeah. So I think Kento will win, but if Yuma wins, I wouldn't be shocked either, and I wouldn't be mad at it at all. Because
I think both outcomes can be explained logically, and they have both legs to it. I mean, Yuma Aoyagi's run can still have many more proper defenses to it. Kento Miyahara, though, on the other side, is always the safe bet for All Japan. So, yeah, I think both outcomes make sense.
And I just think there's more you could do with Kento, because he could face these guys that Yuma already beat. You know, Suwama, Omori, Honda. Like, those options are out of the way for Yuma at this point. Maybe you could have an outsider come in. What about the tag team? Because, I mean, we're coming into the Real World Tag League. And by the way, these are the tag team champions right now.
Yeah.
Going against each other. Is that team going to come to an end, or are they going to continue it? What's the plan with these tag titles, I wonder?
It's an interesting time in All Japan, because Takuya Nomura is back as well. Mm-hmm. And prominently at the beginning of this year, they had the Kento Miyahara and Takuya Nomura tag team that in the end led to a Triple Crown title match between these two. So, yeah, these two being tag champs, usually the tag title is vacated before the tournament. I could see them going into the tournament with different partners. Why not?
Who would be Yuma's partner?
His brother.
Yeah, I like that. I think they're a really fun team. I mean, we haven't seen a ton of them, and especially in big spots, but I really think they work well together.
Yeah.
I'd be totally down with that, to be honest.
Thing, though, they have the junior title, the junior tournament, right? That's not working out then.
There's nobody really that you could think of. What about Hideki?
Oh, that would be awesome. But I...
They don't fit together, really, but they're awesome. So I don't care.
Hideki and Yuma Anzai would fit well together.
There you go. That's how you are right on the money, Striga. $1 million idea. Why not? There. Maybe Yuma, Aoyagi, and Yuma Anzai. Yuma and Yuma.
Yuma and Yuma, yeah.
Yeah, that could work.
Yuma squared, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, it's just going to be interesting, like, how they're going to handle the tag titles at this point, but... with the caveat of the tag titles being vacated, that gives them an easy out to where they don't have to lose but they could also split up amicably as well. So, yeah, it's an interesting time. And I said it before, I like All Japan right now. I think they're doing really good work in a lot of ways. You know, it's interesting, like, with the tag title scenario coming in. And this is the biggest match they could do with Yuma and Kento as well. Like, this is the basically the point of this whole title run, is to get to Aoyagi and Kento. And it's great that we're getting to it at a time where, like I said, we're kind of near the end of the year. And obviously the very end, the 12 to 31 show is obviously going to be the legit end of the year, obviously. But until that point, this feels like the show, like, to go to for them. So, like what we're seeing up and down the card, I love the interactions. The DDT feud has really done a good thing for All Japan. Yes.
For both companies, actually.
Oh, yeah, totally agree. Yeah, totally agree with that as well. Done great things for both companies. You get good cards up and down. I think that's a lot of things. That's the one thing they're kind of missing sometimes with All Japan is that their quality is good. It's just the quantity is low. So sometimes they do a lot of good stuff, but they fizzle out with guys just on the card. But now when you get this injection of people, you know, new rookies like Anzai, you've successfully elevated Omori. You brought in good freelancers like Doi, DDT run sending in people. And now it's at a point where Yoshitatsu would have been fourth on the card, and now he's in the opening match. And I think that's a big improvement overall.
It is, yes. Yeah. And they also, it seems like that they have brought in Koki Iwasaki as a regular freelancer. And I really approve that because I like the guy. I think that he has a lot, great upside. He went freelance from Ganbare and somewhat just fizzled out to lower indies. Picking him up was a great move by All Japan. That's what I said earlier. They have to look at the indies, pick up guys from there and build them up. I hope that's working for him too.
And who's to say? Maybe, you know, they beat the odds. Like, you know, somehow they get a huge sponsorship boost and they bring in Nakajima for that last show. I mean, like, I don't think he'll
not
be a
impossible.
Regular. But yeah, but for a show, like a couple of shows, I don't think it's completely outside the realm of possibility that they can't bring him in.
Hey, before Zanada went to New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I think I said that. I was talking to somebody. I think I made that exact point. Like Sonata in Big Japan back then. Yeah, totally agree. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility at all. We couldn't see him do it for a few shows before if he did go to New Japan. So yeah, I really like what All Japan's doing right now. Good stuff from them.
Yes. So that show is in Miyagi. So one more show of All Japan Pro Wrestling going outside of Tokyo for title matches. They've been very successful this year in doing so. And yeah, that's All Japan for now. Another show that is, it's basically outside Tokyo, but they are billing it as a Tokyo show. It's Tokyo Yoshi Pro Wrestling's Wrestle Princess 4 from Tokyo Tama Mirai Messe. And I looked up that venue. And I talked to Mark from the Must See Matches pod. I was on that, by the way. I once again got to talk about another Hiroshi Tanahashi and Katsuhiko Okada match on the most recent episode of Must See Matches. So shout out to Mark and to Kieran. And Mark is going to Tokyo, and he looked up the venue for the TJPW show. And this show couldn't be more outside of Tokyo. It is near Hachioji on the ultimate west of the Tokyo prefecture. So getting there from the city center, I looked it up, I think getting there from the city center takes like 2 hours. So I don't know what TJPW was thinking when they did the show there. No building was affordable for them at this point. Maybe no building was free for them right now. But going to this place so far outside Tokyo seems like a weird move. But here we are. Yeah, this company overall, I have a hard time getting into TJPW this year. I just watched some of their recent shows, and they were good. I liked the shows. Mio Yamashita and Maki Ito were back. They are on this big show as well. Yamashita and Mitsuki, obviously, in the main event. They had good interactions. I like what they are doing. They're building up their rookies well. But I don't think they're a hot company at all. There's not a lot of stories to hold on to. And I think this card is a reflection of that, Dylan.
First of all, let me just say, you did a great job on must-see matches with Mark and Kieran. I've been on there multiple times as well in the past. But your appearance with Okada and Tanahashi was really well done. I loved what the passion you guys had for that. The last one I was on was Tanahashi and Ibushi for the G1 2018.
And you loved that match.
Oh, yeah, we all did. It was one of the best matches.
I think you loved the match the most, I think, when I think about how we talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, me and you. I mean, obviously, we covered it live when it happened, obviously. And yeah, I still think that was one of the best matches they ever put together. But we're like, between us, whenever they have a Tanahashi match coming up, they know what show to call for it. Is what we've learned there. But shout out to Mark and Kieran. As far as TJP, totally agree with what you said. They've got, on paper, they've got an interesting roster. Some are good, some are more character workers, obviously. But there's been years past where it seems like they've really been clicking. You saw improvements from a lot of people up and down the roster. You saw interesting new people come in. And yet somehow, I just don't know about this show. I'm looking at the card right now. Yeah. It's like you're missing a lot of big players. Obviously, somebody like Sakazaki out to injury. Mm. But even somebody like Daisy Monkey, like two of their better workers all year, nothing. You know, and it's just like you could really do a lot more. They built a lot around, obviously, Yamashita going for the title. The problem with this is Mizuki is running into the same problem Shoko ran into last year as champion, where there's nothing wrong with her. Like, she's a good wrestler, like, but for sure. But her title reign is so...
She has no edges.
Exactly.
She has no edges. She's a great personality. She's a great wrestler. But there is really nothing that you can... There is no foil to work against with her.
Exactly. Like, they just didn't have anything built up for her. They built up to her big moment, which was very effectively. That was probably the best show of the year, when the one in March where she won the title from Sakazaki.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they built up to it good.
This was the last real great emotional moment that they had this year. And after that, they really fell into a hole.
And, you know, they were going with people like Now and mm-hmm. like things like that and weak challengers that weren't interesting. And I know that may sound harsh, but it just is what it is. It wasn't an interesting title reign at all. Princess Cup, they built it a lot around Kamifuku, which was not, and Arai as well. It got a big spot in there. So that's going to drive away interest to me personally. They got around all of that to get to Yamashita. They gave her a decent moment, but again, beating Kamifuku wasn't the way to have her first tournament win, in my opinion. It's led to a really cold build to what should be a match between two of your longest tenured and biggest stars here. Knowing Yamashita is more or less not even a full-time person anymore and will probably be even less so going forward also, I think, hurts. When you're having so many people leave to go to America, it's not a good look to see people leave constantly and it feel like a big deal or make the promotion seem like a hot promotion, as you said earlier. So even this match, which I love Miyu, I think she's a great wrestler, the best that they have, really. Mizuki, a fine wrestler in her own right and a good personality, like you said. This match will probably be really good, but going into it, it doesn't grab me at all. And the rest of the card, to me, there's just nothing here.
Yeah, there is. It feels like it's a card where they have a lot of pieces, but they struggled to put these pieces together to have a card that really feels like a big show. We can talk about some of the matches from the beginning here. They've good rookies. I said it. Haru Katsashiro and Rina Okubo, they are good rookies. They are facing off in the opener. We have more of them. Arisu Endo, who you mentioned with Daisy Monkey, there is nothing with her and Suzume going on. Endo, Kaya Toribami, and Himawari. Himawari is great. They face the Ganbare Pro team of Harukatsu, Yoshiko Hasakawa, and Riara. Then there is a singles match between Moka Miyamoto and Juriya Nagano. I'm circling that because Miyamoto has been one of the shining lights this year in this company, one of the few shining lights, because her development has been really, really good. And Juriya Nagano, of course, is great on her own, but she also needs something. She needs a spark. And then there's the usual Aja Kong six-man tag on that's on any card. And I don't know, at this point, this is not a draw anymore because they put her on any big card, and it's usually the same match. She's teaming with Raku and Shino Suzuki. Suzuki also doing well for her level of experience. They face Hyper Misao, Wakana Uehara, and Toga. Then Ryo Mitsunami, also a regular on these big shows, and Yuki Aino. Yeah, Yuki Aino has been very good too this year. I really like her entrance. I really like her appearance that she has now.
And yeah, recently she made a change, and I think that really helped her because she was totally floundering for a long time.
She seems like a star now.
Yeah, after the Becker-Retzer sisters ended, unfortunately, with Tenma leaving, she was really floundering for like a year and a half. And then once she made the change, I think she definitely totally agreed with you, like really improved her look. The stuff with Aja, same thing. I really agree with everything you said there. I'm happy to see her. She's a legend. I'm not hating on her at all, but it's not interesting or grabbing me in any way, ultimately.
So Mitsunami and Yuki Aino face Miyu Watanabe and Yuki Arai in a good mid-card match here. And then we have one of the final, maybe the final appearance of Saki Akai in TJPW before retirement. He already did the Saki-sama act with Mei Saint-Michel on a show last week. Here, Saki-sama, Mei Saint-Michel, Martha, and Yukio Saint-Laurent are facing the team of Shoko Nakajima, Susume, Pom Harajuku, and Antonio Honda. That should be a fine comedy match in the mid-card. And then the big matches, of course.
Before we move forward, let me interrupt real quick. Did you see her match with Brooks?
Oh, yeah, I did. I didn't get the chance to watch it immediately after the show happened. I watched it this past week, I think, on Friday, Thursday, whatever. And I loved it. I thought that Brooks and Saki Akai, they put so much passion and so much emotion into that match, harkening back to their great match during the pandemic as well. And not only the emotional aspect of the match was so great, but you can see it from the move that they did off the top rope that I failed to spell out every time when they did this top rope move. Everything.
Quetzalcoatl.
Yes. Thank you.
Every episode of Dramatic Dream Dragon, Sandre does not know how to pronounce that. So I'm very well formed in my Aztec god.
See, I didn't even try.
Yes, good idea.
Yes, but when they did that move, that was such a crucial moment for the match because in that very instance of the match, you could see how much Saki Akai has improved over the last couple of years. I just searched some of the pictures that I posted of her back in the day when she won the Tokyo Sports Awards, and she's a completely different person from in comparison to that now. And I said it in the tweet. Chris Brooks retweeted it as well. She deserves the world. She's such a great talent, and I wish her all the best for whatever she's going to do after her career.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you followed her career up to that point, like you said, the emotional aspect was really strong. And like you said, again, you make great points. Akai, I remember for a few years when she first came in, I mean, she struggled in the ring. Like, she was really bad. There's no nice way to say it. But she really got better, like, after a while. And, like, now, at this point, she's really fully formed as a wrestler to where you can do these main event matches. I did think there was a little bit, again, maybe it's not fair because I'm comparing it to a really great worker, but I thought the Irie match was a better match, like in ring. But this one had more story and emotion to it that Akai was able to successfully bring in. Brooks brought as well. But Akai really showing out in her retirement run was my main point going into that, is that she's really worked hard to do some big matches and good matches and interesting ones as well. Like you said, this one should probably lean more towards more the comedy side, the one on the TJP show. Yeah. But still, I think she's done a great job in her retirement run, and none of them will beat that match with Brooks, I would say, for her.
Yeah, mostly because she's mostly in six-man tag matches until the end of her career. So that's the big one that she had.
You'd think they would have wanted to bring something with her in Tokyo Joshi Pro to have a big match.
Yeah. Thing, though, is in TJPW, she's never been considered like a single star.
Yeah, you're right. I've always wondered about that. Like, I've always thought that was... Yeah, like, I always wondered why they never really pulled the trigger on her as a main player. I mean, obviously, I know she does the DDT stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no rule that says she can't be a top star in Tokyo Joshi Pro just because she's a DDT. You know, just like we talked about earlier with Shota and Soma, they got to win titles in DDT, but they're still Gambari Pro wrestlers. So I don't know. I always thought that was a bit of a flub on their part, but your points are true.
Yeah, I agree. It's weird that they never had her at least at the top or as a title challenger. Yeah, and the top of the card here. Four more matches. Special singles match, Maki Ito against Nyla Rose. Should be good. Princess Tag Team title decision match. We'll get new Princess Tag Team champions. None of these teams had ever had the titles. Yuki Kamifuku and Mahiro Kiryu against Hikari Noah and Nao Kakuta. What do you think is winning here?
It's got to be the coronation of free Wi-Fi getting the title here.
I agree.
Again, I don't see a lot in Kamifuku, to be honest with you. Like, no matter what they do with her. Kiryu is a fine wrestler, but not a star, like, you know, ultimately.
No, I don't see really anything in Kiryu, to be quite honest.
Yeah, like I said, she's a fine undercard player, but not somebody I want to put titles on. The other two, I mean, they're not... It's not like they're burning up the roster where you're like, we have to move them forward. But of the teams, I think that they are a team that people like. I think they're a fun group. Maybe not having superstar matches all the time, but still, of the two teams, I think they're the ones that should win. They're a more formulated team and just the right choice. So I'm going to go with free Wi-Fi.
Who are you going with for the semi-MMA, the International Princess and... The NWA World Women's Television title are on the line with Rika Tatsumi defending the international title and Max the Impaler defending the NWA title.
I think another thing that's really hurt the company as a whole this year is how often they're bringing in these outsiders, like the American foreigners, because I think they bring the shows down almost every time. You know, I personally am not a fan of Nyla Rose in the ring.
You mentioned the title matches that Mitsuki had. She had the one against Sawyer Rack that just... The one hook that the match had was Sawyer Rack is tall.
But that's kind of their strategy. Like, everyone they bring in is like, well, they're big. And I mean, they are. Like, it's not a lie, but it's just not that interesting to me, ultimately. And this match, unfortunately, falls in the same vein. I mean, Max teamed with...
Heidi Howitzer.
Yeah, Heidi Howitzer, they were the tag champions earlier this year. And I really didn't like that run very much, ultimately. So I'm not interested in this. Tatsumi, much like Miyu, I think has been one of the shining lights of the company.
Yeah.
Like, she's done her very best to make everything work that she can. And I really rate her as a top-tier talent in general. But this isn't what I had in mind. On top of it, let's just zone out from all of this. Never mind Max the Impaler, never mind anything. The NWA title? Like, in TJP... What?
This is Invasion Attack all over again.
Yeah, what? Like, where is this coming from? What do they think? Like, it just, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me, but I think that... I mean, who knows how the political side of Billy Corgan is working here, but... I think Max could win the title, even though
I think Max will win the title.
Yeah.
Because of what you just said about Rika, she's one of the shining lights of the company. And also, we have another champion. What else is Mitsuki doing after defeating Mio Yamashita?
Yeah, kind of a similar point that I made to Yuma. Yeah.
Exactly. And if I was booking this company, I would get the international title rid of Rika. And have her win the princess title in January.
But don't you want to see Rika at NWA?
No.
Don't you want to see that picture with Billy?
No.
Corgan? Don't you want to see
her
laid out by the Smashing Pumpkins? Do you hate the Smashing Pumpkins, Striga?
Well, the modern stuff I don't like. The old stuff was good, yeah. But I'm not a fan of Billy Corgan's anymore.
I could not tell you one. I can name one song of theirs, and that's it. Like, I could not tell you more than one song of the Smashing Pumpkins. But whatever your favorite Smashing Pumpkins song is, that's what Rika needs to come out to in NWA. But that's not going to happen. Max is going to win the title. I think that your idea is pretty spot on. I would do the same thing if it were up to me. I don't, but the thing is, they don't listen to me a lot in TJPW based on their booking. So I don't know what they're going to do, but hopefully it's something good. And hopefully Rika can really shine a light on Max and let him, you know, have a great match together the best they can. But I'm not a fan of Max and really any of the foreigners that they brought in this year, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then there's the final match, and I think we agree that Mitsuki is winning that. She's defending against Miyu Yamashita. There's really no reason for Miyu to win the title other than carrying it around in America. And I don't know if that's a good deal for TJPW right now, because they need everything they have, they can have in Japan. So anything else but Mitsuki winning would be a big surprise to me.
Is she just going to keep going on these indie shows in America?
I don't know. I think so.
She's in a really tough spot in the company, because the problem is, as great of a talent as she is and how many great matches she could have, her being the champion is not the answer. Like, at this point, like, I mean, she's been there and done that so many times. As much as I'm a fan of hers, and if you just want me to turn my brain off and just watch the matches, she's the one that will have the best matches.
I mean, of course, I will always be a fan of Miyu Yamashita as champion. I love the aesthetic of her coming out with a title, holding it up. It's one of my favorite entrances in the whole wrestling world, but I agree with you. There's nothing to be gained from that for the company side.
We've just seen it too many times. Like, they need some new people in there, like Rika Tatsumi, that in my opinion. So hopefully they can get to that. But the thing is, this match is the one that's carrying the show from an in-ring standpoint.
And from a drawings aspect as well.
It's going to be interesting. Like, Tokyo, yeah, Tama, gonna be interesting. Missing. Like, what are they going to do at this wonderful Western Tokyo venue? I mean, it's been rough for them, too. Like, they haven't exactly burned down, you know, the ticket stands with their attendances lately. But what can they do? Like, realistically, how can they turn it around?
Yeah, building up new people. I'm just looking up. It's actually 90 minutes from Kurikan Hall to this Tokyo Tama business, whatever it's called, messe. It's a long ride. Yeah, they have to build up new people, and they have to get those that they've built up as stars. They have to have Miyu Yamashita, Maki Ito in with, for example, Suzume, with, for example, Arisu Endo, with Hikari Noah. They have to have them in the ring with them and get victories over them to realistically build up new stars. But with Maki Ito being so involved with the GCW and Miyu Yamashita also being so involved with the indies, the question is, how many more dates do they have with TJPW?
It just seems like they've really outgrown the company ultimately. And it's a sad thing, because Ito never really even got the title, despite her popularity.
I think the ship has sailed.
Yeah. And she's not where she was 2 years ago either. Like, we have to bring that up as well. So, again, there's no easy answers when you look at the company, because nobody's really ready, not in terms of talent, but just in terms of how they've not elevated all of these people that we've talked about. They've had chances, but they just didn't do that. So, we'll see what happens. But I can't say I'm too confident about their near future. Yeah. What you said, that's a long-term gain. Like, if we do everything right starting today, maybe in a year's time, we can get to a better place. But I think that we're looking at around a year or so before we even take a significant step forward for this company.
That is absolutely right. And finally, Dylan, we're taking the train ride back from the western outskirts of Tokyo to Sumo Hall. We're getting in the Chuo line, changing to the Chuo Sobu line, and we are getting to Sumo Hall for New Japan Pro Wrestling's big show on Monday that is kind of in question, not the show itself, but the card is kind of in question right now, because five of the wrestlers from America are actually sick, as it appears. It's, of course, Leo Rush, who posted that he has 105 degrees Fahrenheit fever, which is 40 degrees in Celsius, which is really high fever. Gabe Kidd, Alex Covlin, Hikuleo, and who else? Ah, Kevin Knight. They're all off the cards this week and over the weekend as well, which puts some of the title matches on the card in jeopardy. So that's going to be really interesting how they handle this situation. It's very unfortunate timing.
I thought you were going to say they finally wised up and canceled the show because Sonata and Eva won the main event. They were going to save us from that match, but unfortunately, no. Get well soon to all of the talents coming in. Leo Rush, shout out to him. He's done some great work.
Oh, yeah.
Both just obviously in the company earlier in the year, but on Twitter as well, trying to build up with him and Hiromu. The rest, hopefully they can get better. You know, it's a tough situation. Hopefully they can get there in time. If not, I'm sure they'll find a way to bridge through and move forward in a good way for New Japan.
Yeah, so we'll go through the card here and some of our thoughts on the big matches. They announced a wild match that is happening before the actual opening match. So the match is called Frontier Zone. And it's a 10-man tag. Yoshihashi, Toru Yano, Yo, Tiger Mask, and Ryusuke Taguchi take on Takeshi Masada, Katsuma Sumi of DDT, Kengo of Tenryu Project, Jun Masaoka, who's wrestling independently, mostly for 01 and companies like that, and Takahiro Katori, who has made a home in Freedoms, but is branching out more and more recently. So that is a match that hit me from left field, because I never expected New Japan to put on like an independent showcase on this big show.
Yeah. I think the list of talent they've gotten was very interesting as well. For a show like this, you have to think that we've seen what they've done over the last really 2 years. When you think about it, they have really made an effort to work with outside talent more.
Yep.
Whether it's from different companies, whether it's from, you know, different places all around. You have Hiromu going all over the place with the junior title. And we saw them bring in the Glate talent before. You've seen them work with Noah, All Japan, do co-promoted shows. They've worked with a lot of these places. It's very interesting to see them work with them more. But with the opening of kind of the junior festival earlier in the year,
yep,
they probably got a way to reach out to some of these places that maybe like DDT, they really didn't work with in any sizable sense otherwise, but through that show, they were able to reach out more. And so now you're getting people from Freedoms, DDT, places like that coming in. And I think it's a great thing.
I see this as kind of an assessment center to what you said, the Junior Festival. Hiromu Takahashi is probably bringing that back next year. But also as an assessment center for guys to bring in maybe for the Best of the Super Junior next year.
Why not? I think there's some great talent in there. Why not give them a look? Maybe even bring him in. Maybe you put him in there with Desperado on one of those special world shows that they have as well. Maybe you can see something there. So should be interesting.
Yep, definitely. So the card, the official start of the first match starts with the unveiling of the new fifth guy for just five guys. It's Taichi, Doki, and X against the House of Torture, Yujiro Takahashi, Sho, and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Who is X?
Clearly,
Satoshi Kojima.
Absolutely.
He's not on the card.
Bring back, to build up the Bread Club sub-faction.
Yes.
It's Nakajima.
Yeah.
I don't think they would bring him in.
No.
Before, you know, especially in such a small role, but.
No, that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, who would Taichi bring in? Like, who fits with this group?
I think the rumor going around and what would make logical sense would be Taiji Ishimori making his return.
Turn away from Bullet Club, huh?
Yeah. I mean, Yoshinobu Kanemaru turned on five guys, so they are snitching away Taiji Ishimura from Brothers Cup.
That's true. You could build to a rivalry there with Sho.
Yep.
The King of Pro Wrestling champion right now as well.
Ishimori and Doki as a tag team in a junior scene? Let's go.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. That would be a great return. It would be nice to see him back healthy as well. So, yeah, I think that makes perfect sense overall.
Yes. Whew. The next match is Tangaloa versus Chase Owens.
In an arm wrestling match.
Is it an arm wrestling match?
It's, yep.
They did the arm wrestling before the elimination match the other day.
Oh, they did that already.
It's not listed as an arm wrestling match. I think it's a regular. Dylan, it has a 30-minute time limit.
Oh, they did the arm wrestling thing already.
They did it before the elimination match.
I didn't see that.
Mm. So
how was it?
It was an arm wrestling match in a wrestling ring.
Who won?
What do you expect? I completely forgot.
Well, I'm sure you'll forget this match too.
Yes. Let's move on. The United Empire, Jeff Cobb, Great O'Khan, Henare, and Callum Newman take on LIJ, Tetsu Naito, Shingo Takagi, Yota Tsuji, and Bushi. And should be a 3.5 stars undercard tag match. It's weird to see these matches like after the big match already happened with Naito and Jeff Cobb. There's nothing to gain for Jeff Cobb anymore. So, well, we have that. The next match, if Kevin Knight is healthy, it's Clark Connors and Drilla Maloney defending the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title against Kushida and Kevin Knight. Man, Kushida's return to New Japan Pro Wrestling couldn't have gone any worse, to be quite honest. Completely lost steam. I mean, he had this awful disease, which prevented him from getting his junior title match last year. Then he was in the US for a long time with Impact. But there is really nothing that makes Kushida hot right now in Japan, other than he would stay for a longer run with the company right now. But he has had this horrible run in the Best of the Super Junior this year, so I'm not too confident on him winning the title here.
And during that run, he was already the tag team champion.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, just to backtrack a little bit, what do you think of Callum Newman at his run in New Japan so far?
Yeah, he's done fine so far. I mean, he's been mostly...
Just mainly these multi-mans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not really anything that you can really rate right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Whenever he's in, he looks good, but it's always like these fiery segments in the multi-man matches. We have not seen like a prolonged real singles match of him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I do agree. Not a lot to rate on him. Let's see what happens in the future. As for the tag titles, yeah, I mean, they've got a little something going with this War Dog stuff. It's not like next level great or anything, but it's at least something. I don't know what purpose it would serve Kushida and Kevin Knight at this point. Kushida's run's definitely been really weird because they won the tag titles. And then, like you said, they immediately went to the junior tournament to where Kushida just lost everything.
When they won the titles, it seemed like they were off to a hot start because Kushida had this new tag team partner. Kevin Knight was getting really over with the fans. But then the BOSJ happened.
And then they lost the titles right away, afterwards. So, yeah, I don't know. I wonder if there's maybe some kind of heat with Kushida that he's dealing with.
Maybe.
Lives in America. Maybe they want him in Japan more. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make any sense how they book him. So, but I mean, I think that the War Dogs, they'll retain the titles. I think.
They're so hot right now that taking the belts off him would not really make any sense. We have the final match of the 7-match 6-man tag team series. Recently, Ren Arita has gotten his first ever pinfall victory over Shota Umino, which left Umino really, really questioning himself because he had never, of course, lost to Narita. Yeah, and this is the final. Yuji Nagata, Shota Umino, Master Wato against Minoru Suzuki, El Desperado, and Ren Arita. Wato also picked up a big win recently. So this has been a good series, but still, though, it's like I said at the beginning when they announced it, it's a 6-man tag team 7-match series. that's fine for what it is, but it's nothing that you can really put on the advertisement.
This is the definition of filler.
Yeah.
Like, there's no stakes to it. Means nothing. Like, they try to add a little something to it with Narita beating Umino, but it means nothing. Like, you know, like, it's just completely card filler. And hopefully, I mean, it's fine. Like, they're good. Like, it's nothing wrong with any of these workers. It's just, again, no stakes, no interest, mid-card, like, nothing to it at all. And whoever wins, it doesn't really matter. But I would predict that the Nagata and Umino and Wato team, I get the win in the end.
Yeah, me too. Next is the strong openweight tag team title, Gabe Kidd and Alex Covlin, if healthy, defend against El Fantasma and Tico Leo, if healthy. So this is a match that is in question the most on this card, with three people being off the cards this weekend. It's the first defense for Gabe Kidd and Alex Covlin. El Fantasmo has gotten the win on the Rev Pro show at the end of August. So given that what we just said about the War Dogs, I would expect them to defend here as well. Let's say if Hikuleo doesn't make it, I think for the purpose of building up El Fantasma as a babyface, a handicap match would work well too.
Why are we seeing strong titles in New Japan?
We are only seeing the strong tag team title. The strong openweight title itself is only defended in AEW these days.
Yeah, everywhere but strong.
Yeah,
has the titles right now. I'm just thinking, man, you have this lame match that nobody cares about. Wouldn't this be a better spot for the women's title to have a match on the show? I know that I think they've forgotten that about that.
Ship has sailed as well.
Absolutely, but even still, whatever match they could possibly have would be better than this. I mean, there's no purpose behind this at all.
No. Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about Loa and Chase Owens, which literally means nothing, but, I just think about that. Like, you're making room for these strong titles that nobody cares about. Like, strong doesn't mean anything in Japan, but you can't book your own women's title? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we know. Like, we already know why, but still.
If strong actually was a thing anymore, it would make kind of sense, but they've not been producing these shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have the NEVER Openweight six-man tag team title. Okada, Tanahashi, and Ishii defend against Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, and Josh Alexander, all from Impact Wrestling. Okada has made some snarky comments about TNA and Impact Wrestling, saying that he hates the company. So he's going to go in with a lot of emotions, of course, attached to his great run in the company over 10 years ago. But seriously, though, I think that the challenging tag team is a great trio. Love Shelley, love Sabin. Josh Alexander making his unexpected Japanese wrestling debut here. He, of course, years ago had to retire, then came back, had a great run in Impact as world champion. Now coming in as a challenger for the NEVER Openweight six-man tag team titles. I can see him have a great chemistry with all of the three on the other side. This is one of, if not the match, that I'm looking most forward to on the card.
Once again, you're cooking, Striga. I'm cooking because I totally agree. I think that this is a great match on paper. I absolutely love the Motor City Machine Guns. They were huge inspirations to me when I started wrestling, particularly Sabin. I really loved their run. Alexander, I think he's really broken out over the last multiple years at this point. Done a lot of great work and Impact, really given them a guy that they can be proud of in a championship role. And now you have Shelley as the champion as well in the company. And these two are going at it for Bound for Glory as opponents, well, like later this month, going for the world title in Impact. Now teaming up in New Japan. Sabin, awesome. Love him so much. This is a great match on paper. And obviously the New Japan team will win, but I fully expect this to be a lot of fun. And only provides more fuel to the fire of Okada's character that he has right now. But I will say this, TNA and Impact, are they the same? Or will he finally break up and realize that TNA and Impact are not the same?
No, never.
Good for him. Yeah. Never let that TNA run slide, ever.
Well, yeah, and then we have three more matches left. The rematch for the Never Openweight title. It's David Finlay's second defense of the title against the wrestler he won it from in a very decisive match back early this year. Tama Tonga challenges David Finlay, Dylan.
What are they doing? Like, they have... The thing is, you said it. I wouldn't be as strong as you said it, but the War Dogs are doing good things right now. I wouldn't say they're super hot, but they're all right. Like, they're on a good path.
I would say it's the hottest act that they have.
I would say LIJ, to be honest. Like I said...
LIJ is constantly an overact, but of the acts that they have put together recently, I think the War Dogs is the one that is the most over.
I guess, a comparison to who? Like, who would you describe that to?
Let's go to the seven-match series.
You know? Well, those are worthless. Like, that doesn't even matter.
Exactly. That's two acts that they've put together that don't even matter. United Empire, they're not as hot.
No, they've gone down, mainly because Ospreay's been gone.
Yeah. House of Torture has gotten a little hotter with Sho and Kanemaru there. But yeah, that's the War Dogs.
Yeah, I guess. Like I said, to me, it just seems like you have a lot of cold acts. Like, not one really standing on. I wouldn't say they're cold, but again, they don't feel like they're like, oh, Finley's on his way to a main event run.
It's like, not like they are the Crush Girls or anything like that, right?
Well, nobody is. They just did a huge show on their anniversary.
Nobody is, right?
Yeah. But no, they're all right. I still wouldn't say that they feel like difference makers, really. It's just the company around them is so low that they look better by comparison. That would be kind of how I feel about it. And this is a good example. This match does nothing for me, ultimately, just like the other matches on the card to this point. Not just War Dogs, just the matches in general outside of that six-man with the Impact guys. Why are they doing this? We saw this match already. It wasn't that special. Tama was a great babyface last year, and he fizzled out. Like, it happens. It's not the end of the world. But now you're putting him in yet another match here. Who cares? Like, who could possibly care about this match? There's no heat to it at all, in my opinion. And I don't look forward to Finley winning, even though I've long been a Finley fan and always defended him and thought he was good. But just, this doesn't do it a lot for me.
The question I have for Finlay, where is this Never Openweight title run leading him?
And yeah, that's kind of bringing back to my original point. Like, where is this all going? Like, it doesn't feel like they're leading towards any main event run for him.
No.
But he's a good performer. Like, you know, it's this thing. Like, I like him a lot. And I think I like his character in general. I like what they've done with the War Dogs.
It's the best Bullet Club in New Japan that we've seen in years and years and years.
I have always thought every iteration of the Bullet Club sucked from the very start, except for this one. Like, what you get, it's not like I think they're the greatest faction ever, but I do think that they're much better than they were before this started. And I wish that they would get some people around him to where you could really give him a chance to show something big. I love the character. I love the brawling aspect of his character. I thought he did a really good job in the cup. But that didn't really spin off into anything that interesting, unfortunately. And same thing for the G1. Like, they gave him a nice run there. But I don't know. Hopefully they can get somebody at the Dome.
I was just going to ask, what is he doing in the Dome?
It really doesn't even matter. Like, you know, like, it could be anybody. Shingo. Like, Ishii. It'll be somebody like that, I think. I don't think they're going to continue this. Maybe Phantasmo. Like
the Phantasmo, yeah. If you pull the trigger on Phantasmo, it should be in the Tokyo Dome.
And he's done a good job. Like, he's done a good job as babyface, gotten over with the crowd. I could get behind that. Again, to me, that doesn't necessarily appeal to my personal favorite match type, but I think it's a good idea, just like nonetheless. I think that they've done a good job. I think he's done a good job of warming himself to the fans in Japan. And I think Finley's been a very good heel role. So I'm into that. Again, it's not lighting my world on fire, but I do think it's a good idea, though.
Yeah. Next semi-main for the junior heavyweight title. It's the three-way match with Hiromu Takahashi in his sixth defense of the title against Leo Rush and Mike Bailey. No elimination match, which means in theory, Hiromu Takahashi could lose the title without being pinned. Of course, as I mentioned, Leo Rush is out sick right now. But this is a match that could work out without him as well. They could just do a singles match if Leo Rush doesn't make it. Would, of course, be bad for him because he is on a great run. But Takahashi versus Bailey on its own is a great match as well. But I don't think that any of the challengers stand any chance because it's Hiromu and it's his title run and it's going to be the record title and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, this is a great match. Yeah. It's just exactly what you said. Like, there's no reason for any of the others to win. Why is there so much Impact representation?
That's
on this
a good
card?
Question. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. I don't hate Impact in general. Like, I think they're a good company for the most
part. They're doing well for themselves where they are.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would say, again, they're, like, on the verge of a new boom period or anything like that. But
no.
But I like their company, though. Like, just watching their shows is totally fine. Rush and Saban had a great match a couple of weeks ago as well for the X title. So I really recommend that. That was the match of the week on the Wrestle Update page we had, too. But this will be a great match if they can do it as a three-way. If it's Hiromu or Bailey versus Bailey singles match, Bailey really tapped into a new gear in the Best of Super Juniors, was universally viewed as one of the MVPs of the tournament. And I think that whether it's a singles or a triple threat, great match. But like you said, again, Hiromu's going to win the title. Who do you think they have planned for him at the Dome?
Ooh.
This is another where it feels like there's so many options because of his tour, like of the outside companies. Is there some outsider they're building to for a big spot?
Yeah, he's wrestling Katsuki Hirata at Ultimate Party. It's not going to be Hirata.
Hirata gets the win on DDT to challenge at the Dome for the title.
I actually had not thought about that. So who it could be? No, I don't. I have no idea.
They did the tease on the Glade show with Minoru Tanaka, which I think would be a good idea because that's who he's trying to beat for the record, and that at the Dome would be that place. Mm-hmm. So if they could do it for historical value, I'd be down for that. Other than that, I mean, I don't know. And if they don't do, they have a, and I, we said this before, they have a preconceived story with Ishimori coming back from injury.
Yeah.
To the title, if they want to do that.
That's right.
And I feel like those are the only options with story beef behind them. Other than that, I don't think there's any realistic options. At least interesting ones.
There really isn't any division in the last couple of months.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and every year it happens this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once G1 hits, everybody's on the bench.
Yep.
And it really leads to them having a lot of cool dome matches. But I admire... In general, I haven't loved his run, to be honest. Like, outside of New Japan.
Me neither.
You know, and I really liked his first few months. Like, up until the Super Juniors... you know, and once that tournament ended, I thought, man, this guy's had a ton of great matches.
Yep.
Like, really found a new gear. Like, he felt like he was really going through the motions for a while. And then he started going to all these other companies and then went back to going through the motions. It felt like in all of them.
I was already stunned how many votes he got for best wrestler in the half year awards. Because, yes, I thought he had great matches, but there were others that I thought more about being the greatest wrestler in Japan this year. And if this continues right now with the year-end awards, I don't know. I gotta question some of the voters because it's not been an outstanding run this year.
I think half-year award, it was legitimate. For 5 of those 6 months, I thought he was right up there. At the end of the year, I think a lot of those votes are going to go away, you know, and I think, again, it's partly because of the company's schedule, But also because of him, he hasn't been putting his best foot forward, you know, in all honesty, since then. And I don't know. I'm not hype about this title reign or breaking the record or anything like that compared to where I was. I mean, if you look at his matches versus Eagles, Leo Rush earlier on in the year, you know, you did some stuff, Amakusa at the Dome show with Muto. You know, even O'Hara in the opening month did a lot of great matches in the junior
Super Junior. That's true.
So, I mean, like I said, you know, he had a deep run the first 5 or 6 months. So I wasn't surprised. He was up there for me as well. I didn't vote for him, but he was up there. But yeah, at the end of the year awards, I think that's all gone away. And like that was a good run. But ever since then, there's nothing really he's done that's impressed me in the last 4 months.
And finally, the Lumberjack match for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Zanada, in his fourth defense of the title against Evil. They've stacked the deck so much against Zanada. He was humiliated during the G1 climax. Yoshinobu Kanemaru turned against his stable. They beat him up prior to the most recent Kurikan Hall show. They've stacked the deck for the babyface to get over. And more I think about this title match, Dylan, the less I think that Zanada is actually winning this title match.
You know, that's been a hot rumor lately.
Yeah. The thing is, the challenger in the Tokyo Dome is where the money is. It's Tetsuya Naito.
Right.
And who Tetsuya Naito is wrestling is not really of any importance. So, you have
so they think. We don't know that for sure.
Maybe. We have no more title matches left this year. So, in my estimation, does it really make any difference if it's Zanada or Evil?
If they're thinking that way, it tells you how much of a failure this Zanada push has been.
Yeah.
The problem with Evil winning and why I do think Zanada will win, I get that everybody wants to doom post pretty much with Evil main event in the Dome. The problem is the entire purpose of this title reign was the story of him going through these people. So to cut it off right before you get to the main guy, why?
And I might be talking myself into a shoot, and that's one of those deals that I've said all along with the House of Torture. The idea of them winning is enough. They don't have to win, actually. And maybe that's the case here too.
I mean, Evil and Naito have history.
They all have history.
I mean, that's the thing. The Sonata this whole year has been building to him completing the story. So by cutting it off right before you get to the finish line, you are saying this guy is a bum. Like, he is just a non-entity as champion. He sucks. His title reign is a failure. We cannot have this loser go into the Dome who sucks. Why? I mean, he's not done great. Like, I've had my criticisms of him all throughout, like, his run, pretty much. But is the answer, what evidence do we have that Evil would be better?
None. There is none.
And so that's the problem. Like, if Sonata had just won the title, and maybe there was no story, he just faced random people, like, I would be down with that. Like, you know, I wouldn't be down with it. I would be understanding of where you're coming from. But the problem is that they have so much story built into this title reign that they would have to throw it all away at the last second.
Logically, it doesn't make any sense. It's just this feeling that I have when I think about this match. I just wouldn't be shocked if it happens in the end.
And I totally understand that, because we've all been there before. Evil, you know, getting into these big spots that we don't like. if that happens, I think that you really have to question everything they've done. Like, this whole year has to come into question if mm-hmm. that happens, because it's not just evil. Then you've made that, they have made that decision. It's not me saying, it's not my opinion. They cut their own story off right before the end point. That tells you all you need to know. So that really makes this whole year a complete wash. And would they be willing to throw that all away because they think evil is a bigger deal than Sonata? I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I just, to me, why would they go through all of this just to throw it away at the end? And that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
Like you said, they put all of these roadblocks in him with Sonata, and it feels like they're trying one last push to make him into a guy, which I don't believe he is. Like, I don't think he's a worthy world champion either. You know, so it's not like they're even wrong. And if you just think, oh, well, it doesn't matter, like, we're just going to move away from Sonata because we know he's not a guy, so we're going to try this other thing, and maybe this is something. Hey, if Evil main events the Dome, who cares that it's a V0 title reign? He could say he is a Dome main eventer for the rest of his career, that we push him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think like that, okay, but you've killed Sonata at his title.
That's right.
You know, and he'll never be, like, you basically just confirmed that he will never be anything again in the company. But I don't know. Yep. Again, I'm not a fan of Sonata's title reign. I don't think he's been a very good champion, like, overall. So none of these options are good for the main event of the Tokyo
that's
Dome.
That's the thing. It's, we're discussing what would be the best outcome out of two outcomes that really are not any kind of hot.
I mean, the thing is, they are banking 1,000% on Naito and LIJ lore mm-hmm. being a top draw. And it's worked in the past plenty of times.
Mm-hmm.
But done much better than this particular version.
Yeah. And not only, let's not only talk about the Tokyo Dome, what they bank on there. I think this card is looking really rough from a drawing standpoint. I don't expect this to do well, to be quite honest.
I mean, again, they're trying to bank on the old, even though neither of these two are in there anymore, they're banking on the old LIJ lore factor here to kind of mean something. They have history. And the rest of the card is like so many foreigners that they brought in. They've overloaded it. It's one of those things, I'm not really sure what their aim is with this show, to be honest with you, up and down. There's nothing really on the card that stands out. I mean, and match quality, there are some good matches on the show. We talked about it with the six-man tag and even the junior title. But it just feels like this Sonata run and the company as a whole, man, like, they are ice cold to me overall. Mm. It was interesting too that the Kobe show they did actually did less than the Dragon Gate show, the Kobe World show in Dragon
yeah.
Gate. Yeah, that's the first time in a long time. I don't know if they ever did it before, but at least the last couple of years the DG shows, but they've mm-hmm. already overcame it. So that's interesting. That's an interesting thought. And just the whole company feels like it's really cold. They did a big number for the final, but that was Naito and Okada,
right?
And that's kind of what I'm saying when I made that earlier. Like, they've banked on Naito before many times, and it's worked. But that was versus Okada as well, a very interesting and compelling storyline. Is this, like, is him versus Evil the same level as Naito versus Okada?
Not really.
Gato, like, what are you doing right now? Like, this, look at this man's booking decisions up and down. All of these matches we talked about, how many times have we said, what's so-and-so going to do with the Dome? And then both of our answers were, well, we don't know. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Junior title, never title. What's going to happen? Up and down. Women's title we talked about doesn't mean anything anymore. Gato, this man's booking. Hey, we were praising Gato a lot through the early portion of the year. Both of us said New Japan had one of their best years in a long time.
Yep.
Like, up to the G1. But look at him now. You go with the G1, you go with this crazy-ass Sonata title reign, it's caused this clown to lose his town crown right now.
Yeah, it's not a good period right now. Post G1 has been really cold. And one more question on that, Dylan. What is Okada doing in the Tokyo Dome?
It's another case where everybody anticipates him versus Bryan Danielson to replay their Forbidden Door match. And that's going to be another interesting part there. What kind of goals do they have? Are they so confident that Naito is in the main event, regardless of the champion, Sonata or Evil? Like, it doesn't really matter from a drawing perspective. I'm not a fan of his, but I would much rather see Sonata.
Me too. I agree.
Yeah. So just for me personally, I would rather see Sonata, but it really doesn't. I don't think it makes a big difference in terms of a drawing perspective either way. But are they confident that Naito in the main event, Osprey Omega, and Okada Danielson, you could put those matches on and you could have a big dome show?
Adam Copeland has also entered the conversation at this point.
The rated R superstar himself. We talked about his debut on Wrestle Update. He could do something. If they wanted to get behind him, that would be a bit. Here's the thing, though. Same thing, and even a little bit with Danielson, but even more so with Adam Copeland, also known as Edge. He doesn't have a footprint in Japan.
No.
Like, that you could really bank him as, like, oh, this is a big drawing star coming in. Like, not really. Like, not in that market. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but other than the Danielson match, I don't really see anything that would make sense for Okada, because he's basically, for most part of the year, he's been just there.
And what a shame, because this is arguably his best work of his career.
Yeah, all right. It's wild.
You know, like, that's so weird to me. That for so long, they were so confident in him. And he does this great work. I mean, they were rolling when he was champion before he lost the title to Sonata. And he was doing some great work, and I loved what he was doing up and down. You had a lot of momentum with him. And then it's like, okay, he's now the six-man champion. he went to the final of the G1, and a lot of people liked that match a lot. And I liked it. It was a really great match, you know, in its own way. A very good spectacle, at the very least. You know, so they gave him something in the G1, but largely, like you said, it's been the six-man titles and not really a main storyline. If it's not Danielson, maybe they could do something where... Here's the thing, though, like, because you could argue, hey, maybe this would be a good time for him to wrestle one of the Three Musketeers, and, like, in a match, and, like, try and build them up through that.
Yeah.
But they need him in a big match, in my opinion, like, this year. Like, he can't just be a guy on the card. Like, he needs to be in a major match.
No, his role definitely should be big standout singles match.
Totally agree. Like, six-man title in it, and I like the Three Musketeers, all of them. But right now, this particular year, he needs to be in a big match. You know, like, that's all there is to it. And Brian would be a great match for me, personally. And a lot of the fans. But again, there's... And they built a storyline with that as well, somewhat. You have a pass to call back to. I think that would get the fans riled up that are there. I don't know if it would be a huge drawing match, like, for Japan itself, but I think the fans that do know Brian, well, obviously, it'll be a big draw to them, pretty much. So I like the match a lot. Omega and Osprey, I definitely do think, mean something to Japan, and it's the finality of their feud.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, could that be the main event over the world title match, if that's how it plays out?
I don't think that New Japan would do that, actually.
The whole storyline is Naito doing his roll call in the Dome. So, right. Yeah, it makes more sense to do that there. But it'll be interesting overall. But like you said, we're relying on foreigners and outsiders up and down the card now again.
Yeah, look at this card. I mean, they do need them.
You're right. Like, you're totally right. They need them at the end of the day. But what if it's Kaito versus Okada?
That would be amazing.
Do run it back.
Finish the story, Kaito.
But no. And besides that, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with multiple people on this card. But we'll see. They've got a few months to do some big things. Maybe again, we saw it. we've seen in years past them pull some stuff out of their back pockets.
Yeah, right.
Remember when Jericho first came to New Japan and faced Omega? Nobody expected that. You know, maybe they have something on that level.
Yeah,
that could be a
but again, that's outsiders, right?
It has
something
to be
from within.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody that really feels like the dude right now, like that's ready to take the step up. I think they've done a decent job. I mean, I really liked the match Tsuji had with Ospreay last month.
Me too.
Yeah, I thought that was a great match. And he's really, he just feels like that guy of everybody that they have, but he hasn't gotten any big wins yet. So that's the one thing he's missing. I think in a year's time, we may be talking about Tsuji in a different light than we have him now, but I don't think it's not anything.
I expect him to have a big run in the tag league this year, maybe even winning in the tag league. And from there on, next year, stronger run in the G1.
High profile match. As a team?
Yeah.
I'm totally down for that. Yeah. Like, that could be a great tag team match. Like, those two versus Bishamon?
Absolutely.
Like, I'm all for that.
So him next year in a bigger marquee match in the Tokyo Dome, that would work out for his push.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's where we're at with them right now. They don't really have anybody internally. They're going to have to rely on these outsiders. And maybe they have something big planned, some kind of big swerve or curveball. But as it is right now, it's not a hot company up and down, like, you know, at this moment.
That is ultimately it. And that's been the case for some of the companies that we've discussed here on this show so far. So I'm really interested to see how Monday then rolls out and what they end up doing, what great TJPW, All Japan, and New Japan end up doing, and what all other companies are doing in October, nearing the end of the year, where some of them have bigger shows. We've not talked about Dragon Gate, just at the end here. They have a show on Monday, the Gate of Origin, but so far they only have one match announced. We are of course, recording this before the October 6th Currican Hall show. But the one match they have announced is Ishii defending the Brave Gate title against Ryo Fuda, and Ryo Fuda is injured right now. So that's questionable as well. They have announced, though, for November in Osaka, Big Boss Shimizu challenging Madoka Kikuta for the Open the Dream Gate title. That's the best storyline they have been running in the last couple of months ever since the Kobe show. And I think that Big Boss Shimizu is somewhat of a hot act. The match against Yuki Yoshioka was really hot with a hot crowd. So I'm looking forward to that match. But yeah, that's been mostly it for what we have on the show.
Really look forward to seeing Shimizu get the title shot. They've done a good job building it up, having him go through the Big Six or whatever. The Reiwa Big Six. I mean, I like it. The company as a whole, they're another one you can lump in as kind of cold right now. Not a lot going on of interest. And like you said, the show coming up, we don't know anything. So we can only say so much. But Shimizu and Kakuta has been announced for November. So that'll be their big match they're hyping to. I'm interested to see how it goes. I think Shimizu could win. And I hope so. Like, I really think he deserves it. I'm not a huge fan of this Kakuta reign in general, to be honest with you. And I would rather Shimizu have the title and see what he can do with it. He's never gotten the chance that... Go back to our original shows when I first came on here.
Yep.
And we were talking about DG.
Shimizu still was days of Big Ben.
And they were my guys. Yep. Like, Big Ben and Big R. I loved them. Like, those were the ones that I liked, and I really didn't like DG at all in those years. I thought they were really struggling for my personal interest, and just kind of not a good product. But I loved them. I thought they were great all around. And if Shimizu can finally get his run now, I personally would be very interested in that. And we'll see. I think the year-end show is always something they try to throw something big out to kind of set the stage for next year. And maybe this year will be the same thing. And I know they've got the big show in January. They purposely made a bigger show this year for January. So I think either December or January, they'll be able to have something big But until then, I think we're kind of in this holding pattern. And if Shimizu can get the title, I think that would be a nice shot in the arm for them as well. So, I think it's a good idea.
That's a good way to end the show, Dylan. You, of course, have stuff going on the Patreon and with Wrestle Updates. So plug away.
Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. We've got all sorts of stuff going down there. As I said, I did reviews for the shows right when they happened. The shows we kind of touched on this show at the end of September. I'll have more reviews on there of stuff going down. Much more of a regular schedule since the tournaments ended. Obviously, we had big coverage of every tournament, really, but specifically lately, the 5-star Grand Prix. You can go in there, look up all the stuff, look up all the old shows me and Striga did. We did Week of Lariats on Inoki. We did them on all the third generation, Nagata, Kojima, Tenzan, Nakanishi. We did all of them. Three Musketeers, we did them as well. Lots of cool stuff on there. Toyota Tuesdays, all through with the backlog. Now on to the next chapter of Toyota's career. Written updates every week on there, every Tuesday. You've got Tiger Thursdays, Tiger Cast W coming in. We just reached over the halfway point. We're going to release our first ever public show, too, of Tiger Cast W very soon as well. My sister makes her public podcasting debut, which she's very nervous about, to be honest. But we will put that up very soon on the YouTube page, at Eastern Lariat on YouTube and Twitter as well. You get cool stuff up and down. The YouTube page has archives of our shows. Maybe it's a little bit easier for you to listen on YouTube than your Spotify or iTunes or wherever you want to listen on Libsyn. You know, that's good for you guys out there. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. We got some nice views on the last few shows. So very happy with that. Twitter got a lot of new followers and stuff too coming in. You know, Strig is always posting some translations. I'm doing stuff on there as well.
Yes.
You know, asking people their thoughts on stuff, wanting to see where you guys are at. Because we've got a lot of big matches coming up, you know. Noah's got their GHC title with Kenno and Jake. You got Yuma Kento we talked about. DDT, you've got a big show coming up as well. Ultimate Party, we touched on very briefly. You know, so you got a lot of cool stuff coming on in the world of Japanese wrestling. Wrestle Update, follow us on Twitter at WrestleUpdate23. I've even started taking to doing live tweets of shows, covering shows as they happen and talking about them. I just did it for Dynamite last night as well. So always watching stuff on there, always doing stuff. We just released a new episode on Wrestle Dream, as I said earlier. Again, follow us at WrestleUpdate23. Lucha Talk, we did an episode on the Anniversario last month, too. It was a fantastic show featuring one of the best one-man performances of the year by Volador Jr., wrestling a match of the year level match with one arm pretty much with the injury. Him and Angel De Oro had an amazing match. Everybody should check that out. Good stuff all around, really, in wrestling. Wrestle Update, WWE has a pay-per-view this week, Fastlane, and GCW, we're going to cover that show too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we did a show a couple months ago about Homecoming. Both nights I watched there. I dipped my toe back into the GCW ranks, which I definitely wasn't expecting. But Aniello, great co-host of that show. Tons of fun. Always energetic. And I actually, like I said, I really enjoyed the show a lot more than I thought it would, GCW. And I'm kind of hyped for the War Games match they set up as well, to be honest with you. So, all good stuff there. And other than that, I'm trying to think of anything else going on there.
That's a lot, actually.
Yeah. Shout out to Akari, Pure J wrestler. She had a bad concussion recently, but she's on the mend. Just wanted to say get well soon. Mejorate, Reina, out there to her. Hopefully she gets well. And you see a lot of cool things going on in the Joshi scene as well, whether it's Pure J, Seedling. You know, we talked about TJPW a little bit. Stardom, we did the last show on. Ice Ribbon has
Buki Hoshi on top is great. Yeah.
Oh yeah, she won it at the end of August. You know, that was a really good match that she had there as well. Her and Yuri, so that was really cool. On there, you're seeing a lot of freelancers pass through all these different places. Yeah, I think that's about it.
That's about it. That's about it. That was a lot. So thank you, Dylan, once again here for the show. I had a lot of fun. We went through some of the cards coming up, talked about some of the companies, very comprehensive, I think. And I want to thank all the listeners for listening to this show until the end. So that's it for the Eastern Area this time. Goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.